This morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. I want to read a portion of Scripture, and then we'll pray and get into what I want to talk about today. Luke 23, at verse 50, it starts this way. Now, there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action, speaking of the death of Jesus. He did not agree with what was happening. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. He took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful that you are alive today. And Lord, may we live in the fullness of what the resurrection means. But God, today, would you help us to let this story live in its fullness like it should in us. And do so for your glory, we pray. Amen. This morning, I want to try and attempt to help you see the resurrection of Jesus, maybe with new eyes today. Because I would love for you to somehow catch the wonder of the resurrection as it happened for the disciples. I'm not sure that that is possible, but this morning I want us to kind of imagine the difference between Saturday, the day before Jesus comes out of the grave, and Sunday, the day he showed himself alive. My title this morning is simply The Day Before the Resurrection. Something I was reminded of this year is the fact that when Jesus died, his followers did not fully understand that there was even going to be a resurrection Sunday. Even after being with him for 3 years, though, they really didn't know who he was. And even though he had told them, in 3 days I'm going to rise after I'm crucified, they did not understand it. Listen to Luke as he records it for us in chapter 18, verse 31 to 34. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, "Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem, where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again." But they didn't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. Today, as believers, it's kind of hard for us to grasp where they were. Because all of our lives we have faced the memory of Jesus being crucified in light of the knowledge that we have about Sunday's resurrection. Our consideration regards to Calvary and what took place there is tempered by our anticipation of Sunday's resurrection. But it wasn't the case for the disciples. To them, the world as they knew it on Saturday had come to an end. What do you think they felt? What do you think they experienced? First, I would like to suggest they probably felt lifeless. The shock of all the events that had taken place and the exhaustion of what had happened over the last week probably left them emotionally drained. I mean, from entering the city with hosannas and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord and making preparations then for the Last Supper and then, of course, going and praying and then him being arrested and the early trial that happened early in the morning. They probably were worn out. They had lost sleep. They had probably not eaten like they should have. They had followed him for 3 years, and he's dead. Probably they didn't want to do anything. Life has stopped. They not only probably felt lifeless, they probably felt defeated. All their hopes have been tied to Jesus. They were sure he's the Messiah. I saw evidence of the miracles he did. They knew the words that he spoke and how they burned in their hearts and how it touched the way they thought about things. In fact, Jesus made them feel significant. But now, it's all over. Jesus, he had handpicked most of them. Peter and James and John, just fishermen, but their life changed after meeting Jesus. Matthew, he had left being a tax collector and probably for the first time was feeling a little respect. All of the disciples, just common men who had been living the dream with Jesus. And for the first time, they felt important. They felt connected to what Jesus was doing. They believed they were making a difference in the lives of people. And now, all of a sudden, he's gone, he's dead. With that thought, they probably believed they wasted their life. Some of you may have experienced working at a job for many years and you worked hard, you gave it your all, and suddenly the business fails, or maybe you're laid off and you begin to wonder, what did all those years really mean? You might have felt, it was all wasted. These men had invested 3 years of traveling and staying with him and going all over the place. And at this time, it seemed like, boy, this is going to be great training for our future. They loved being with Jesus. They thought he's unique, he's wonderful, he's special, and they believe he's the one that's going to redeem the world from the mess it's in. Can you imagine now how confused these guys are after Jesus is dead? It's Saturday. It's all over. They had to be asking, how could we be so wrong about him? How did I ever think he was the Messiah? They probably sat around on Friday night and Saturday trying to figure it all out. They're also in hiding partly because they're afraid the officials might come and take them next. They just didn't know what else to do. Their hopes, their dreams, all tied to Jesus and what he wanted. I mean, every day we would get up and they would wait for instructions and look forward to the new adventure that Jesus had for them. And now, this morning, there's nothing. Jesus is dead. This morning you might be wondering, why would we look at the day before the resurrection? I believe it's important because there are people today that are still living in a Saturday-like existence. They do not understand what happened on that Sunday morning. They really have never heard even about Jesus or that he is alive. That is why we do missions, not just abroad, but we have to do missions right here. We are coming up to a generation, and you need to hear me clearly. We are coming up to a generation that is illiterate about Jesus. He is only a curse word. Church, I'm telling you, we have a mission field ahead of us. There are people who've hit their so-called middle age years. Is that anybody in this room? Nobody wants to admit it, at least. But some of them are beginning to think, without Jesus, is this all there is? All the dreams I had when I was younger and now are probably never going to be fulfilled. And on the flip side of that, all the goals that they have achieved and have accomplished that they thought were so important, they've all left them empty. I mean, how many won trophies and awards when you were younger? Man, they were important then, weren't they? What do they mean now? I was in marching band, and I remember going to solo and ensemble, and I remember all these medals, and the more medals you got, I mean, the cooler you looked. Maybe I ought to wear them one Sunday. And you would wonder, what is he trying to prove? Church, all the stuff you achieve is worthless. This morning, maybe you're younger and you're feeling that the mountains in front of your future, you may never get to the top. You're wondering, maybe I shouldn't even start climbing. You maybe had big dreams, but you may already be thinking, are they out of reach? And you're dealing with fear that you'll even fail if you make an attempt. There are others in this place, you're in the later years of your life, and you find yourself groaning more than laughing now. You know, I'm not quite maybe where you are, but I find myself feeling things I've never felt before in the morning. And you just don't have the energy you used to have. And you're thinking, what do I have left to contribute to life? In fact, a lot of your dearest friends have already passed away. And perhaps it was your spouse or a child or a brother or sister. And now you're starting to feel all alone and wondering, how much more time do I have? Church, that is the Saturday experience. And far too many people are living with the feeling and they're walking through life as though they are lost and without purpose and they're lonely. That is why people need to hear Sunday's message. That is why people need to hear about the resurrection. Why? Because it offers a new beginning. It's really only after you understand the sadness and the condition of sin that we're in, and the condition of where the disciples were, that you can better understand their joy. Let me give you a thought this morning. Imagine walking out of this sanctuary this morning and you enter into the foyer area or into the exit area and you actually run into someone, meeting a family member or a dear friend who has already passed away. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Or would you have the same reaction that the disciples had when they thought Jesus is alive? You might have a little disbelief. In fact, you'd probably rub your eyes and say, do you see what I see? With that simple thought, you can begin to understand why the disciples, they were cautious at first. It's really not all that surprising that they did not believe the earliest reports of him being alive. Even Mary Magdalene assumed that someone stole the body of Jesus. John 20, 1 and 2. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. The report of the empty tomb only amplified the despair. They just thought, it's all over and it can't get any worse, but now somebody's robbed the grave. Then later, Mary reports to the disciples. She says, I've seen Jesus. He's alive. But they were skeptical. It was easier to not believe than to believe in that moment. Because all their hopes and dreams, they didn't want them crushed again. Remember Thomas? He struggled with this thought. In the book of John, we read in verse 24 of chapter 20, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Finally, of course, Thomas and all the other disciples did get to see him alive. And when they saw him and got to talk with him and they spent time with him, they did eventually believe. And then, of course, they lived with this inexpressible joy. They didn't know what to do with themselves, whether to cry probably or sing or laugh or dance. You see, the resurrection of Jesus does change everything. For those who were mourning, they're now celebrating. Those who were in despair, they now have hope. Those who were numb to all the events that took place, they're now filled with life and joy again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul gives some implications about the resurrection. And here's what he says, and I'm going to hit several verses without reading the entire chapter, but in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel, the good news, which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand." Verse 3. "For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas," and that was Peter's name, "then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, He appeared to me also." In verse 12, Paul says, "Now, if Christ is preached that He has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith also is vain." But in verse 20, Paul continues, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. But when this perishable will it put on imperishable, and this mortal will it put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Paul writes this to the church and says, don't think he's not alive. He is alive, and it is changing everything. In fact, there's several things we learn from this passage. First of all, the message of salvation is true. If Christ is raised from the dead, then He can offer what no one else can offer, eternal life. Amen? And His message is verified as true. He is the only Savior. Forgiveness and a new beginning is possible because He is alive. Our past can be forgiven, and He is the only way to eternal life. We also learn in this passage that life is not meaningless. We do not simply live to die and exist no more. Church, there is life beyond the grave. There is a God in heaven. There is more to life than you can see or ever feel. The things that do not make sense now in our Saturday existence will one day be explained when we stand in the glory of heaven and we have a true Sunday experience. But we also know we do not need to despair at the graveside of those who have died in Christ. Death is not the end. It's a new beginning. It's not defeat, but it's victory. It's not decay, it's transformation. The sting of death may remain for those on earth, but death is no longer victorious. It tries to wound us, but it cannot defeat us. It may still hurt because we grieve. But church, we do not grieve without hope, because death is not the end. Church, We have a message that everyone must hear. This is the greatest news of all. The news of Jesus being alive. And church, it is more exciting than the announcement of a new baby being born. Oh, we get so excited about little babies being born, and man, we send out announcements and blast it out, and we want everybody to see. Church, I'm telling you, the resurrection of Jesus being alive is far more important than any birth of a baby. It's more important than any famous game and victory that might be won. It's more important than any new job you may ever get. This message changes lives, and it has to be told. It has to be told that Jesus has risen. He has risen indeed. The resurrection brings light to the darkness of what was felt on Saturday. Even though some of us may be middle-aged, and we may never reach our dreams, but if you've met the risen Savior, you have found something better than anything you'll ever achieve here. It will fulfill every dream. In Jesus, you will find the key to life. And all the achievements and trophies will mean nothing, because Jesus is my trophy. He is my Lord and my Savior. Young person, this morning, you may be looking at the mountains of your future, but you need to know you do not have to face them alone. The Lord can be with you if you'll put your faith in Him. You may not know what the future holds, but you will know who holds the future. And our older constituency that's with us today, for those of you who do understand the power of the resurrection, you may have slowed down physically, but I know within you there is an anticipation of heaven. You may have trouble walking here on earth, but for those who live in light of the revelation of the resurrection, you're dancing on the inside. Amen. We'll invite our worship team to come back this morning. Church, it is time to proclaim aloud the message of the resurrection. Why? Because our view of death has changed. Church, there is eternal life with Jesus for everyone who believes. And by the way, our approach to difficult circumstances has changed. Did you know there is purpose in all the madness around us? Listen to what Paul tells the church in 2 Corinthians 4. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Church, our focus for living has changed. We now live for Jesus. Galatians 2, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Church, the view of ourselves has changed because God loves us.